from the book of Ezekiel. Now, one I want to just bring out, well, it's one portion that we all know very well, but if you see the word prophesy in the scriptures, first of all, let me just start by explaining the fact that the job of a prophet does not always involve predicting. Sometimes, now I'm not trying to be critical or judgmental, I just want to explain some things to people. A lot of people think at the beginning of the year, you must give predictions, you must tell people what is going to happen that particular year. It now becomes the mark of the fact that you are a prophet, you understand? If God decides to do it like that, fine, but it's not required. Do you get my point? It's not required. Our names as prophets of God is not Nostradamus. You understand? We don't have to tell everybody, you know, what's going to happen this year. No. If God reveals it, fine. I have no objections to that. Jesus said concerning John the Baptist that of all prophets, you understand, that was the greatest of all the prophets, you understand? Yet, John the Baptist did not prophesy anything. He did not predict that. He did not predict anything. The only thing he did was to identify that this is the Lamb of God. He didn't do any other thing, of course. I'm talking about any like a spiritual manifestation. Every other thing he did was just to preach. All he was doing was preach. In fact, I was listening to Kenneth Hagin. He said that a lot of people that they call evangelists, they're actually supposed to be prophets. I think a lot of them, we're not talking about the same sets of people. You know, I've told you before that a lot of people they call evangelists, in my mind, they are supposed to be apostles. Do you understand? Uh-huh. But he was trying to explain that, yet the people are not predicting anything. They are preaching the gospel, that they speak purely by inspiration, and that they qualify for what is called a prophet. And that John the Baptist, like we're talking about, that he didn't tell you, this, it shall come to pass. You know, all he did was to preach the word of God, and then he understood who Jesus would be. And that was the thing. And the Bible makes it clear that he was the greatest of those prophets. So being a prophet is not always about predicting. Christians mix it up, and then they get easily deceived. That's another thing. They get so easily deceived. They say that, hey, he predicted something, and it came to pass. You understand? I told you once we went to Ghana, my wife and I, and this particular clown in Nigeria who's so popular in Africa, you understand? So the man is there, you know, deceiving very many people, and ignorant people easily get impressed. They watch the TV programs that have been choreographed, you understand? Things that have been set up like home movies, of which the actors have been paid. Even some famous actors even go there to go and do acting, and people can't even see this is acting. You know, human beings, oh God, may God open your eyes, may you not be foolish in your life in Jesus' name. May God give you wisdom so that these are your eyes, that they're actually working. Yes, it's true. So people are just so, human beings are so gullible. So gullible. So gullible. Anyway, that day, my wife was looking at that lady, say, what is it? She says, a man of God. So how do you know? He predicted something and it came to pass. This was in Ghana. Do you understand? That's why it came to pass. If it's Nigeria, it came to pass. Now, you see, that's not what makes you a prophet. If you're going to read the scriptures, I'm not going to look at that now. The first thing about the prophet is that you must be speaking the word of God. That is, what you are saying must be in agreement with what is written, with what is recorded. I like one thing Ken Hagin said when I listened to him. He said that, he was preaching to people who are ministers now, that there are those who actually have the prophetic unction, that is, they are called prophets. But sometimes they make the mistake of thinking that they owe people, you know, the obligation to perform. So they come for a meeting. They must always see visions. They must always dream dreams. And when God doesn't show it to you, you know, because God doesn't always do it. Sometimes he will refuse. God will just refuse. Say, today I'm not telling you anything. So Kenneth said, he was warning some of the young people, say, develop your preaching ministry. Do you understand? Develop your preaching ministry. No, they don't go grill. They just wanted to be, you know, they want to do things that are spectacular. You come for a meeting, as soon as you come in there, you start seeing things. And these things do happen once in a while, but it's not compulsory that they must happen. If they happen, enjoy them. If they don't, you just continue. That's one thing you must know as a preacher. Continue to teach or preach the word of God. That's the first assignment. So, but when they don't realize it, When they start talking the one God didn't say, evil spirits will accommodate them. They start seeing visions by familiar spirits. And those who don't know, they are impressed. A man comes and says, let me tell you your GSM number. Tell him I know it. What are you telling me for? What are you trying to impress me about? That's not my point. A lot of people don't realize it because somebody told you before you came, this happened to you. Listen, it's not only the Holy Spirit that does that. Familiar spirits can confuse your soul. You know, these are areas people have to be very careful so that you don't give in. And anyway, I'm not teaching on that now. But my emphasis is the fact that it's not the ability to predict the future that makes you a prophet. And you should never feel under obligation to do it, even if you really are a prophet. However, our emphasis, I was saying, is that a prophet prophesies the word of God, declares the counsel of God. That's the primary thing. It's not predicting the future. And when you see the word prophesy, it's so, you see, it's all over the scriptures. You understand? And when God commands people that they should prophesy, what actually, I like what the pastor Poju said, which I wanted to quote, you know, when I began to speak. Pastor Poju said that prophesying is not predicting. I heard one message he preached quite a long time ago. He said, prophesy is so that the physical things will become conformed to the arrangement that is in the realm of the spirit. That is how it works. If God has something inside him, and he says to light, light be. Now, that's a prophetic word, you understand? Because it's coming from the mouth of God, we don't use the word prophesying because a prophet takes from God and declares. But what we're trying to do is to be the representatives of God on the earth. So if God now, he's not creating by himself, but he has put us down here, and he wants things to happen, he will put the words in our mouth. And then when we utter those words, we are said to be prophesying. Do you get my point? It is not as if we are predicting, because this is what happens with prophesying. If you do not prophesy, the thing that you were supposed to say will not happen. So if you shut your mouth, it won't happen. It's not as if I could have predicted that too. No, it's like if you don't say it, it will not come to pass. And when God wants to judge, that's why he says, God does not do anything except reveals his secret counsels to his servants, the prophets. The concept is that if he doesn't do it, if he doesn't reveal, the prophets will not hear it. You understand? They won't know it. And if they don't know it, they won't prophesy it. And if they don't prophesy it, it will not come to pass. One of the things God is helping us to know as the Church of Christ these days, I believe, is for us to understand that even when it comes to divine judgment, that I've been meditating about that for some months. I will continue this year to really, really think about it so I can teach what is accurate. When it comes to divine judgment, we also have to prophesy it. You have to. That is what I'm saying, is that if you don't, things will just scatter beyond your ability to handle. So you have to declare into the air that judgment must come upon iniquity. If you don't say it, God can just be looking at it like that. I talked about different levels of judgment before. There's what I call level one judgment, in which you selectively pick the things that are wrong, that is talking about God now, and attack them. But there's what I call level two, in which, okay, that one didn't work. The whole of Sodom and Gomorrah have been polluted, so God now says, okay, rain fire from heaven. No matter who is there, fire will fall from heaven and wipe out Sodom and wipe out Gomorrah and all the surrounding cities and the plain. You understand? Now, the only deliverance, now listen to this, the only deliverance that the righteous people of God will have at that time is to run. But their presence will no longer be able to preserve that place. Because what happens is that your presence as a child of God preserves a place. And that's what is called being the salt of the earth. That is, you haven't prayed though. Just that the building was supposed to collapse, but you decided to stay inside there. You did not know. The angels will have to put the buildings on their shoulders as long as you're inside. Are you getting my point? In fact, remember when Abraham finished interceding for Lot, the angel had to tell Lot, rush, look, there's a conflict here. As long as you're here, I cannot rain this thing down. But you are now dragging. So please, let me not rain it out on you. So when Lot was dragging, to show you that there was a big conflict, the angel had to drag him by the hand and pull him out. Because there was one other angel, I assume, was holding the thing, about to shoot it. Yeah. And they were on the phone. The other guy said, are you ready? He said, look, I can't hold this anymore. The fuse, I've lit the fuse. 10 seconds to go. He said, but I'm still with Lot. He said, that's your own. So the guy had to drag Lot and run away. Do you understand? But the point why I brought up that issue, that you see that angel explained to Lot, there's a lot of constraint. Your presence is causing a lot of problems for us. So please, you got to get up and start moving. And that's what I'm talking about. That's going to be the salt of a place. So and the building is supposed to collapse. And you don't know. It's not as if you are defying, because that's what you must understand. You are not allowed to tempt God. You're not allowed to defy him. Do you follow? But you don't know. They say, okay, building will collapse this morning at 7:15. That happens to be the day that you decide to arrive there at 7 o'clock. You enter the building and you decide to be walking. And one angel, they say, bros, come now, move. And I say, I'm coming. You don't know that it's an angel trying to push you out. I'm coming. So the angel will say, yeah, this boy has spoiled everything. So you have to call some other guys to hold the building up first until you walk out. As soon as you walk out, Jesus said that until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Do you understand? The entrance into the ark released something. Do you understand? So that day you move up the building. They will say, 5 minutes after you left, it came down. It was not a game of chance. It's not as if, hey, brethren, praise God for me. If I had stayed 5 more minutes, I wouldn't be here. No. It is that the building waited for you to leave. If you had stayed 10 more minutes, the angels would have walked 10 extra minutes holding it up. That's what it means to be the salt of a place. But the time comes in which God will now say, listen, bros, if you stay here too long, I'm sorry, I will still have to put the building down on your head. So what I will do for you, because of our relationship, is to pull you out by force, by force. Do you understand my point? That's what we're talking about, salt of the earth. But so that we don't prevent that, we don't allow that level 2 judgment to come to pass, what we do, and this is where the church needs to rearrange its doctrine. This theory we have, that God is a good God, is so good that even if you slap him like this, you just say, hey, why are you slapping like that now? I will give you an example and turn the other cheek. In case you don't know, the name of God, the Father, is not Jesus Christ. So people say, hey, what did you say? I've just told you what I said. God, the Father, cannot be crucified on the cross. He will kill everybody. I know what I'm telling you. Other one of beating and he opened not his mouth is the Son of God. Do you understand my point? He was prepared as a lamb to come and handle that one. Even him, he don't pass that stage. Even him, that stage don't pass. He now is, if you slap the Son, it won't work now. Now you have to kiss the Son. That is what is agreed now. Slapping the Son, the time has passed. Now it is what? Kiss the Son. Otherwise, you'll be angry. And when he gets angry, what happens? You perish out of the way. Let's get that clear. No, this God that we make him look like, you know, he's such a nice God. The fact is that when he gets angry, I've been saying it, one of the problems in today's Christianity, for those of us who study the Word of God, is that we don't have a balanced opinion of this our God. Go and read Revelations. There was no devil there destroying anything. The devil was not there designing anything. It was between God and his angels. He released 4 angels. He said the name of the first angel is death. And that one will come galloping. I was reading something from my wife the other day, from the book of Joel, that when the Bible talks about the army of God, he said in front of them, the land is like a garden of Eden. Behind them, a desolate wilderness. When we are interpreting it, we misunderstand. We think that everywhere they face, it will become beautiful. No. He was saying they were a destructive army. So if they get to a place that is plush and beautiful, when they leave it, they place a wasteland. That is, they will destroy everything that is. And God said, it's my great army. He said, my own. I keep on saying, when you enter into Egypt, you ask the Egyptians, what is the God of Israel like? He said, that guy that kills the firstborn. And he was not the demon of God, Satan, that went there. It was an angel. When the time for destruction came into Israel, David saw the angel physically with his sword drawn. You think every angel is a nice guy? The ones that are protecting you, they are not nice. I like what the Apostle Benga said once. He said, the angels protecting me, they smoke a bowl. I thank God for the apostle. But the fact is that not every angel is nice. You can read the scriptures very well. One went and stood in the path of what is the name of this our brother prophet? Balaam. And he told Balaam, you are lucky that the spirit possessed your donkey. If you had reached here, he told Balaam, if you had reached here, I would have killed you. He said, the only thing that saved you is this donkey you are beating. Please, let someone say it's the Old Testament. No, it's not. It's a principle of God. You know what I'm saying, all these things? We have to realize that God must judge evil in our time and in our land. He has to. See, that's the reason why the church of God, the people of God, must take their hands away from doing evil. Because very soon, in fact, not very soon, since last year, we have begun to prophesy against evil. So, if you are a Christian and a policeman, don't collect roja. When they are sharing it, don't collect. Because we pronounce a curse upon it. And it will not discriminate. Listen, when it was time to destroy Jerusalem, the only advantage the disciples had was a foreknowledge. They knew ahead of time. Jesus told them, look, this will happen. This will happen. These are the prayer points you can pray. You will pray that it will not happen during winter so that you won't have to run, you know, when it's cold. You will pray that it will not be on the Sabbath day so that you may not have made any preparation for travels because it's Sabbath day. He said, what you will see is the armies begin to surround Jerusalem. When it happens, now this is the information I'm giving you. The moment you see it, if you're having a prayer meeting, disband the prayer meeting and start moving. Don't say, I have gotten home, I left some dollars, you know, in the house. Let me go and collect it. He said, forget the dollars. Move. That was the only advantage the disciples had. That information. He said, look, that is the only thing that will save your life. He said, because when it starts, the tribulation is going to be great. So he taught them how to run. Any of the disciples that decided not to obey, he would just die for disobedience. But dying, he would die. Why am I saying all of these things? What Christians do is you hear things like they say, what must we do to be saved from the judgment to come? And what I'm saying to Christians is that you depart from doing iniquity that God is going to judge. If you're a Christian and you're a politician, please avoid money that's not your own. It's simple. Politicians are well paid. That should be good enough for you. Take that one and leave it. Don't join them to share anything. Because as a matter of fact, the church will pray for judgment on these things. And when the judgment comes, listen, you know, God will not be able to discriminate. Say, you know, these ones, they go to church. He was praying the last time. What he can do ahead is to do what I'm doing, saying now, warn people ahead. I was saying that, so you see, that's the problem. The church needs to learn to pray the other side of God's prayer. I've read the scriptures enough. What some of us teach in the Word of Faith all the time, that it is not God, it's the devil, it is totally not true. Why it's dangerous is that we fight our fight wrongly. Sometimes when God is trying to correct us, we say it's the devil. Instead of listening to the correction of the Almighty, we start attacking in the name of Jesus, this devil that says, then you start fighting it. God says, well, what else do I do for this guy? I still have to correct him. He has gone to church. They have talked to him. They have talked to her. Did not accept. Now, this one is now me trying to correct. Christians sometimes think that, no, you can use prayer to finish it. No. Paul, who taught us most of the things that we know, he said that one, I had to go to God to beg him on the matter 3 times. And each time, God refused to do anything about it. I'm not teaching about that now, but for those who want to know, Paul realized it was for his advantage. He explained. He said, so that I do not get exalted above measure because of the abundance of revelations. So what he was just saying in effect is that what my work should be on is pride. It's not this messenger of Satan. I should focus my energy on ensuring that I'm not exalted above measure. And as long as that is handled, then that thing will be kept, you know, out of the way. It will be kept aside. But anytime I see it, I don't say, You did, Satan, I'm warning you, I'm a child of God. I will turn around and say, what have I done in the last 2 days that shows pride in my heart? Then I begin to examine my heart and confess everything out of my soul. Then the thing will move away again. Listen, the Bible says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hand of the living God. For the Lord our God is a nice ice cream. That's the way we talk sometimes. No, he said the Lord our God is what? A consuming fire. Very important. Anyway, you know, I told you, I digress into that. Where I began from, actually, I'll retrace my steps and connect back. So what I was saying about that is that we have to learn to prophesy against evil. What we do a lot of times is to grumble about evil. What we do, and you see, you know, there's an article, I don't know if you're on our mailing list, you must have released it today, and you must have read it today. In the time of election, I called it. One of the problems with us as Christians is that really, some of the things we complain about, we actually like them. Do you follow my point? We do. What I mean is this. The example I gave in that one is that one of my colleagues, when we were in university then, he went and voted for somebody who he said was incompetent. They had an association election, and the fellow, he came to the room. He's my roommate. He came and he was complaining. He must have spent like 30 minutes lambasting that guy, telling him how useless the guy is, that the guy's brain doesn't work. The guy is this. He yapped that guy thoroughly, and the guy was running for president, and he won. I don't know. They said, meanwhile, I voted for him, Sha. I said, what? You voted for him? You just told him that the guy's head was not correct, that he can't do anything, that this guy can never move this association forward. So why? He said, he's my brother. Now, I told that story to let Christians know the way we behave. We can say we don't like something, but our actions shows we don't mind. What that guy just said, and many of us believe like that, useless leadership is okay if it's from my brother. Once it's from my village, that's what he meant. They were not blood brothers. They were just from the same area. You know, this was University of Benin, so wherever they came from far, they are from the same local government. Say, it's my brother. So even your brother is a nincompoop, he should be our president. I mean, he was a law student, so it was not my faculty. So everything I knew, I heard from his mouth. You agreed. So if that guy may go to church and say, God, give us good leaders. God is saying, you don't want good leaders. What you want is your brother to be the president. So if your brother's brain doesn't work, I will still make him president. You know why I told that story? That's how a lot of Christians behave. Many of the things we cry about, we actually like it. We rejoice when our cousin becomes commissioner. Don't we? If a member of a church suddenly becomes commissioner, the pastor is happy. Praise the Lord. Ha! Sir, when are you coming for Thanksgiving? He expects the man to come for Thanksgiving. Not alone. If you come alone. If you come alone, we'll be tied you. You must come. If the excellency, the governor will come with you, better. You come with the SSG, the commissioner. You assist all the deputy commissioners and assistant commissioners. They must come. Then, of course, this is, you know, politicians. They are the worst of hypocrites on earth. When God was creating hypocrisy, he called you politicians. That even those that hate you will follow you to church. Why? Our guy is going for Thanksgiving. And we pastors, we like it. They will now look for a joker who knows how to raise money on such days. Will now preach a fire and brimstone message targeted at just one person, the commissioner and his cohort. Listen to me, that church cannot pray against corruption. They don't believe in it. Did you hear what I said? When we behave like that as Christians, we cannot pray against corruption. Why? We like it. We like it. We like it. We like it. We really, really like it. Listen. Oh, I'm going to get down to my own message for today. But get this point. This is the problem we have in Nigeria. I keep on saying it. That's the problem in Nigeria. Some of us that complain about things, we only complain when it doesn't favor us. Once it is our turn, say, God, you will rearrange this order, but let me finish my own term. Because in reality, if we hated it, believe me, I have no reason to doubt it. If we hated the status quo, God will change it. The fact is that we don't. Listen, if I have a friend now, or one of you, because it will happen, one of you becomes commissioner, minister, senator, House of Rep member, it is prayer I will be praying for you. God is my witness. I will be praying for you. What's the prayer? Deliver him, that is, lead him not into temptation, but deliver him from doing evil. It's a prayer point. I will take it like, for me, it's a matter of Christians must serve. Are you getting my point? That's it. Christians must serve. I told you I went to preach somewhere once, and somebody, I asked a question. As how many of you believe that the governor of Enugu State is enjoying? This was in Enugu, all right, MNA area there. A church, a real church, an Orthodox church. How many of you believe that the governor of Enugu State is enjoying? All the hands went up. So let me go by it again. Let me say it again. How many people here believe that the governor of Enugu State is enjoying? All the hands went up again. I said, okay, now, how many people want to become governor so that they too can enjoy? And almost all the hands there went up again. I said, this is how my people reason. I said, hear ye the word of the Lord, you will never be a governor. I said, with this mindset, you will never be a governor. I said, this is the very reason he will never make you a governor. Because you don't have the servant mentality. In the kingdom of God, he said, the one who is the greatest amongst you, who is the governor amongst you, let him be the servant of all. There's no enjoyment. Uneasy lies the head that's carrying this crown. The head is uneasy. So if somebody comes and says, I plan to run for governor, it's prayer I'll be praying for you. That you won't die suddenly. Those one, you know, they have real enemies. Not just these imaginary enemies. All people that don't like me. This one, people don't like you. Opposition don't like you. In fact, they say it on the newspapers. So this is not all these church enemies, that all my enemies. No, this one, we know them. I can tell you Jonathan's enemy right now. His name is Good Muhammadu Buhari. We know. That one man put an advert. Many of you may have seen it in the Sun newspaper. He's a PDP man advertising against APC. He put all the dead head of state there and put Buhari next and put a question mark on his head. You are still praying about your enemies. You can't see your enemy. The man was telling us to vote for Buhari that if you vote for him, he will die in office. He's prophesying death upon the man. What he's telling the man is that win this election, dying, you shall die. So if you're a politician, I will be praying for you. Now all those people wishing you evil, their evil will not come to pass in your life. Yeah, because it's service, it's work. And I've told you, if one of you listening to me, you are going to political office, you have been appointed, say, sir, come and pray for me. I will ask you, there's one prayer request I have. I will ask you to agree, not prayer request, I have a request to make of you. Before I pray for you, you will agree with me. Now, as you are entering this office, you are not going to get richer when you are coming out. That any money you have will be the one you can show me receipt. You will show me when they paid you. That if anybody comes, is a contractor, and he comes to say, thank you, sir, we will both agree that thank you must not be more than a bottle of wine and a goat. Yeah, goat. Once done the rich cow, you need to call me before you accept. Cow is big, too big now. That's no longer thank you, sir. That's becoming like any other job coming, sir. Yeah, if it's wine, if this is Nigeria, you know, this is not America. We can say, wine, I will tell you, you can accept. Goat, if it's not too big, it's not too fat. If it's a fatted goat, call me. We will agree. But if it's cash, even if it's 1,000, no. Trip abroad, no. Some things that normal people will accept, you and I will have to agree, you will not accept it. I say, if you still want the office after that, kneel down. Then I bring a bottle of oil and pour it on your head and bless you properly. That any money we can't account for, that you can't show receipt, the one you can't show EFCC, that this is how it came. Don't collect. If you did a whole community a favor and the best I will agree for them to do for you, let them bring Atulo good dancers and dance for you. When they finish dancing, they should go home. At the end of the day, let them go home. Go into that office. On some of this, I'll talk about it. You see, one of the things in life is you have to learn to take pride, you know, in some things. Take pride. That is, you take pride. Say, yes, I was a commissioner for 4 years, and I don't have a house. What about land? I didn't get. Why? Because the land that was available, the money was big. And I didn't have the money. So you didn't get any land? Yes, I got one. That one is after Four Corner. If you turn left, 2 kilometers after. That one that any civil servant could have bought. The only thing, the advantage I had was that I knew. You understand? So I applied properly and I qualified properly. Beyond that, I not get. After 4 years of being a commissioner, are you serious? Yes, I'm very serious. And that is my badge of apostleship. You understand? It's the only thing I have to show that actually I am against corruption. I'm not saying I'm perfect too. I'm just saying that I have made up my mind that would be proof that I am against corruption. So when I'm leaving office, if they say, okay, all former servants, all retiring public officers, okay, go home with your official car. I will go with it. There's no problem. It's in the papers. You can see it's officially my own. I used it for 4 years. They say I should go home with it. I should pay 50,000. I will pay it and drive it. I have no heed. And there are many in Nigeria who have done this. Professor Pastor told me, said something. Once somebody was saying that Nigeria is very corrupt, he was trying to explain to the people that listen. He was amongst those who dragged General Electric to come and invest ₦1 billion and $1 billion in Nigeria. He said, he told them, I can stand. He said, then the World Trade Center was still standing before Al-Qaeda pulled it down. He said, I can stand on the top of the World Trade Center and dare anybody, because he held government office before, under Shagari, as a 30-something-year-old man. See, and he held a lot of government appointments. He said, I dare anybody who has ever given me $50 to come out. Tell the people, I'm willing to stand on top of the World Trade Center and dare anybody that's ever given me $50 in inducement for anything to come out. The man beat his chest. He said, I don't give bribes I never took. These are not impossible things. They're not impossible things. But why I went into that is for us to understand that the reason why God finds it hard, why we are unable to prophesy against evil, is that actually deep inside our hearts we enjoy it. Maybe we average Christians don't realize it, but we have to pray for our ministers. They enjoy it. They like it. They do. Not everyone, but we just have to put we. We have to do we so that we can confess the sin of our people, all of us, you sitting down there and me. I'm not saying I caught you stealing anything. We are confessing as a body. We are jointly confessing. We are jointly. We are not pointing at any figure. We are agreeing with ourselves that it is our problem. Do you follow my point? Uh-huh. So, I'm retracing my steps. So we need to learn to prophesy against this evil so that God can judge it and purify the land for us. Very important. Back to where I started from, the issue of prophesying. So when God says prophesy, I was quoting Pastor Kwaju, who said that prophesying is for the orderly rearrangement so that physical things, material things, earthly things can be conformed to that which is in the realm of the spirit. So when we prophesy, we are not predicting. We are issuing forth words. We are issuing forth commandment. We are issuing forth instructions. People will predict by saying X plus, if X is equal to 10, when Y is equal to 25, then it will happen that when X is equal to 20, Y will become 50. Therefore, by June this year, this will happen. By June, but that's true. That's what most people do. But when we prophesy, we are saying, for example, when X is 30, Y is going to be 450. And they'll say, it doesn't make sense. You say, no, you don't understand. I am not telling you based upon what has happened before. I am saying my words are a multiplying factor. So when the words come out, it makes every other thing, not make too much sense. And suddenly, A new factor has been added in because of my words. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I have checked. And I'm telling you what will happen. That, you know, all this crude oil now, selling for less than $50 a barrel. So, no, I'm not saying that. If I tell you that it shall be well, it will come to pass that prosperity, I'm not predicting. I am telling you by virtue of the fact that I said so. Things will rearrange to confirm what I said. Therefore, my assignment, we're talking about the beginning of a year, as a child of God, is to ensure that I say something. If I keep quiet, I'm saying the current status quo should continue. X should, if X is currently 10 and Y is 25, I'm saying that when X becomes 20, Y should be 50. Do you understand my point? I'm saying that things should continue the way they are if I don't say anything. But when I say something, I'm using my words to change what's going to happen. The prophesying is not a commentary. It's not a prediction. No, that's not what it is. It is that these words form new things. Do you get my point? So we come down and say, the earth is without form and it is void. And darkness is upon the surface of the deep. And, you know, we now begin to brood because we have the Spirit of God in us. And when we have brooded and we have decided what we think should happen, what we now do is that we now speak forth. What we speak forth now is what is called prophesying. Do you understand the point I'm making? That's how it is, though. And that is why, at the beginning of the year, it's not only to, you know, praise. What does God want us to do? You know, I was telling my wife the other day, at the point in time, I was praying, what does God want me to do, you know, as a preacher, as Kingdom World Ministries leader, and all of that. And what just came to my mind is that, don't worry your head about these things. You will see those things evolve. Are you getting my point? Don't worry about them. You will see them evolve. Later I'll talk about the will of God. The will of God is that just understand what is right to do each moment based on principle. Not as if you suddenly have a prophetic insight. If you do, fine. But if you don't worry. Just do what is right based on principle. And then you will see events evolve. Now, when you prophesy concerning things, oftentimes how it will come to pass, you don't know. That's what I'm going to emphasize. But things will evolve. You will see those things happen. It doesn't always follow that you go in a sequential, step-by-step manner. He said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was as if we were dreaming. That is, if we had looked at what happened the day before, there would be no indication that the captivity would be turned today. That's why it's like a dream. That's why it's like a dream. It means that if we look at the events of the last few years, forget, this captivity will not be turned. Freedom is not coming. Then wake up one day, freedom has come. So it appears like a dream. That's why prophesying is not predicting. It's not saying what is likely to happen based upon what has happened. Do you follow my point? Don't worry about it. It's not how is it going to happen? Say, how shall these things be? No, even Mary was confused. That's how prophesying is. Is the word comes forth, and that word creates something new. Are you getting my point? In Mary's case, she had to accept the word. The word had to enter her. What am I saying? That is the job Christians have. Another point I should make, you declare despite, you must understand that this is war. You know, I've been saying that before. Life is what? A battle of. Everything you hear people say that are negative, those things are, in quotes now, prophetic words that they are releasing. This country will burn. When you hear that kind of thing, it's not as if they are speaking their fears alone. It's not as if they are just running commentaries. Those negative words, that's what the evil spirits use to do warfare. That's what they use to fight. And it will be terrible if those who have the real words don't ever speak positively. It will be terrible. And that's what I'm teaching. That Christians, you must learn to prophesy. Prophesying is not, I'm predicting something. Prophesying is that these are the words that the angels will use, you understand, to produce something on my behalf. I said we should open somewhere earlier. The book of Ezekiel chapter 37. It said, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. That's the nice way of saying, I do not know. Behold, he said to me, prophesy over the bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you. I will cover you with skin and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. Verse 7 says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. As the bones came together, bone to bone, and I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Now, I will stop here so as to save time. The same principle kept on, you know, manifesting. But the point I want to make from here is that God had a desire. God had a plan. This was a vision anyway, but it shows us the sequence of events. God had a desire. He had a plan. His desire did not come to pass until he found a prophet and he told the prophet what to do. And when he told the prophet, this was going to happen. It did not happen even though God said it. What happened was that the prophet had to first of all prophesy. The prophesying was required for what God wanted to do to happen. Do you understand what I'm going to explain here? Look at what he said. He said, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. That is, until I prophesied, everything was quiet. Until I prophesied, nothing happened. Even though the will of God was clear, the words of God had been uttered, but it had no effect on the earth. That is why God does nothing without informing his servants, the prophets. In this particular situation, let me remind us of who prophets are. There are different kinds of prophets, but there are prophets that are prophets because they are children of God. You know, in the Bible, Abraham was called a prophet. He told Abimelech to go and meet Abraham to pray for him, he said, because he's a prophet. That's what he said concerning Abraham. He said, because he's a prophet. He said, they went about, yet God suffered no man to do them wrong, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And these were not Isaiah's and Jeremiah's and Nahum's, and you know? No. Who were those people? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the sons of Jacob. These are the people we're talking about. So you see, a particular class of prophets are the kind of prophets that are so-called prophets simply because they have a covenant with God. That's it. Because they have a covenant and a relationship with God, they are called prophets. Don't ever forget what I said. The greatest prophet in your life is who? You are the greatest prophet in your own life. Everyone listening to me, if you're a child of God, you're a prophet. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Your words are important. What God wants to effect on the earth, he expects every single one of us to join in prophesying. That's what I want to explain. Christians still make the mistake a lot. You hear them talk. They still run unnecessary commentaries. They run unnecessary commentaries. I want to say something about the election. Some people sit down. Now, you can vote for anybody you like. Do you hear what I said? How many presidential candidates do we have? 14. Okay. Of all the 14, you can vote for anybody you like. I'm not talking about, I'm not supporting anybody right now from this pulpit. When you come to my sitting room at home, you will know who I support. And you will know why. Don't mind any pastor or prophet or whoever it is that's from the pulpit fighting during elections. Some things are totally prophetically out of order. The time of election, you don't utter some words. No, you don't. If you must utter them, go and meet the men directly. Go to PDP office, knock on the door. Tell them, thus says the Lord, talk to them. To go on the airwaves and talk, you are trying to sway votes. You have no credibility. Are you getting my point? That's a matter of fact. Let's just understand that, all right? What I wanted to say about the election is this. Some people, somebody say, they say vote for change, then they change 100 naira. That's a joke. Some people say, you know, they just react. And that's what I tell people, that I don't care who you vote, like I said. But don't use reaction to vote for something that you don't know. Are you getting my point? Don't use reaction. Use your, you know, think properly. What I'm bringing out is that no human being is the hope for the country. I hope you understand that. None. The day of election, I'm going to vote. But believe me, my trust remains in God. And whoever wins, the moment they announce you winner, I switch my gear, my gun of prophesying in your direction. I shoot wisdom into your head, poam, and I receive it by faith. If you like, behave foolishly. Your foolishness shall be converted to wisdom. Yes. There are wisdoms in the scripture converted to foolishness. Are you to fail? I'm telling you, God can do it. He can make the counsel of the wise become foolish and make this foolishness of the wise people, of the foolish people look very wise. Do you know that?
Yes.
So I aim my prophesying in your direction and start blasting your life with prophecy. I don't care who wins. I must do that. That is the duty of a believer. And even when we're moving towards the election, I can be analyzing one way, analyzing the other way. I'm still prophesying that, listen, you know, good, whoever it is, good is coming to this country. I don't care who you are, good will come to this country. In the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, that's how Christians react this time of election. Don't put your hope in. People say, I just want to vote out PDP so that they will know they can be voted out. Listen, my friend. If you like, vote out PDP, vote in APC, vote in, which other parties? COA Party, ABGA, Accord, PDC. You can say what you like. The Almighty rules in the affairs of men. And he gives the kingdoms of men over to whosoever he wishes. It's who he wishes, not who you are angry against. It's who he likes. And you better accept that too. When you are going to the election, put that one in your mind. But one thing you must never take away from your mouth is to declare the truth. You know some of those things that, you know why God teaches us those things? Let me give you one word concerning that. The reason why God teaches us all these things is so that we declare those words and let them be our guiding, let me put it like this, our guiding words. Look at the one I just said now. Some people are sure that the person they want to vote for is the one God wants. Do you know that? I don't know what I get. They think they know the mind of God. Pastors, you know, some people now, they are in Redeem. And because a pastor in Redeem is the presidential running mate to General Muhammadu Buhari, suddenly, when they woke up yesterday, the Holy Spirit said to them to vote for APC. Some people say that, no, they are Catholics. And that one reverend father saw vision. You all know me and visions, we don't gel very well. There are too many visions. So as far as they are concerned, this person they are voting for. Everybody has his own thoughts, and a lot of Christians think they understand the mind of God. Let me just tell you ahead of time, you don't. What did I say? You don't know who exactly God wants. Your vote does not dictate it. Your desires don't. I'm talking about how Christians react. I'm going to vote for somebody. Okay? And when I'm voting, this is what I'm going to say to the Lord. This vote is a civic duty. I have voted according to what I understand. But Lord, the Almighty rules in the affairs of men. And he gives the kingdom to whosoever he wishes and sets upon it the lowliest of men. Therefore, I say, Lord, do it in the name of Jesus. Set upon these kingdoms a person who will be a blessing according to what we have asked you for and according to what we have prophesied. If my candidate loses, I just discover that God doesn't want to use him. Do you get my point? It's a discovery. If everybody campaigns everything for one person, we are so sure he's the one, and he loses, we just discovered that God is not using this human being. The words we prophesy, we still believe that they came to pass, even though our votes did not agree. Are you getting what I'm trying to emphasize? For that reason, please, when you are talking, that will mellow your talk. Yeah, it will mellow your talk. So by the time you finish talking, say, this is what I think about. Anyway, the Almighty rules in the affairs of men. And he gives his kingdom over to whosoever he wishes. And he will set upon it even the lowliest of people that we know. Some people, let me take our current president. Some people say, Why? How did he even become president? It's a fulfillment of scripture. They say, people like him shouldn't have ever made it to that level. You have just proven Daniel chapter 4 correct. And listen, you must learn to rejoice in such things. That's what I'm trying to explain. You must learn to rejoice. Listen, I'm giving you a commandment today on behalf of the Lord. From now on, declare those words regularly. Towards this election, declare, say, God, you will appoint. That's the summary. Just say, Lord, you will appoint. We will vote, but you will appoint. If God decides to queue up angels to vote, they will just have permanent voters card all of a sudden. They suddenly become Nigerians. It's not a strange thing. If God, you know, in fact, if you ever read this man's book, Pat Robertson says his father was a long-term senator. And the father was so sure that he would win the election. But I don't know whether he was the one. Somebody had the revelation that that man is not winning again. And you know how it happened? On the day of his election, snow fell. And everybody assumed that the man is so popular that they will vote for him. So they all assumed he would still win and they all stayed at home. It was very cold. It was cold, so they didn't want to go out. I say he's very popular. Everybody will vote for him. Come on, it's cold. Why am I going to vote? He's going to win anyway. That's how all the people that would have voted for the man sat at home because it was cold and they were so sure everybody else will go. That's how his opponent defeated him. The old man was heartbroken. He didn't believe it could happen. But those who knew ahead of time, they had the revelation that God was going to do something strange there. And God set upon that throne the lowliest of the candidates. But now we know the way God did it. His own candidate said, look, every little vote counts. If we have any chance, we need this vote. So they went out in the cold and went back home. That was how they collected the election. But our words as believers is simple. This next election, the Almighty rules in the affairs of men. And he sets upon this particular nation the person who will be a blessing to us. The person through whom he will set the captives free. That will set economic captives free. He will set security captives free. He will set legal captives free. He will set freedom to serve God in righteousness into this nation. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, so we have what I want us to do, maybe by the time we come next time, actually I wanted to do this ahead, I forgot entirely. If I didn't even remember until now that I had planned to do this. I wanted to print this out so that each person can have a copy and use at home at any particular point in time. But what I want us to do, at least now we have understood what I was explaining concerning the importance of prophesying, that you don't speak according to what makes sense to you that you can work out. You speak according to what you believe that God wants to do in your life. And I think let me just start with one today because our time is really gone. I want everybody, you know, we're going to pray for different groups of people, but because of the way things are right now, I want us to start with this one first. That's, I want us to prophesy concerning ourselves for our individual lives. Maybe before we go, we'll add a few words for the country, even though we have been doing a bit of that as we have been speaking all this while. But let's start with our own personal walk with God, all right? I want us to prophesy concerning our lives. That's what's most important. You know, I said something to us on Saturday. Let me say it again. There is eternity. Somebody say amen. Amen. No matter how long you live, you do very well. You do 120 years, okay? That's still a very short time. As an adult, you will not even do up to 100 years. You understand? So you are going to have a very short time, really, on this earth relative to eternity. And the fact is that some things don't count for eternity. The quality of clothes you wear now don't count for eternity. The size of the house you are living in right now doesn't count for eternity. The kind of things that you own, the countries you have been to, how much money you have in your bank account, do not count for eternity. Nobody is going to see you on that last day and say, oh boy, did you chop life? tell me, let me smell your dead body. The perfume still on it. It's the same cheap one, the spray of every corpse they're going to put on your own too. All right? Nothing special. The angels won't check. Say, let me check what you are spraying. You know, people buy perfume, 50,000 naira a bottle. If you die, the smell does not get into heaven. Do you understand that? It doesn't. Like one of these comedians said, he said, the last day, judgment day, saying that's where everybody go queue. So he was doing this comedy in London. So he said that Queen Elizabeth would be in front of you. You would tap and say, ah, Lizzie, you're here too. Is everybody is going to be, say, all the titles won't matter at that time. Do you understand? Supreme evangelist will make no difference. It's true. Most eminent bishop. No meaning. Do you get my point? Yes, all these things will literally pass away. We must never forget. We must never forget. They will literally pass away. What you own on this earth, what you accomplish materially speaking, will mean zero. And what you accomplish that will count in the realm of the spirit will actually count for eternity. That's why it's so important that we focus on what is right. Christianity is that you understand that life is beyond what you can see. Christianity is that you don't allow the things of this world to trap you, make your decisions for you. You start making decisions that is going to only benefit you for the next, you live very long, the next 60 years, you understand? The last 70 years, it won't benefit you beyond that point. It's very wrong, all right, for Christians to behave like that. You only make decisions according to things, putting first and foremost in the front of your heart, of course, the things that will count for eternity. That's what I'm trying to say. So let's start this prayer like this. I want us to pray, first of all, or prophesy concerning our walk with God. Do you understand my point? It's very important. Let's prophesy concerning our walk with God. I was saying something earlier. Many things in life, people don't know. There are things you just take as a badge of righteousness. Everybody say, I went there, I made money. You want to just say, look, I did not. And you're sure you did not because you are lazy, but because every way that was available was wrong, and you said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper, understand, in the house of God than make a lot of money and dwell in the tents of wickedness. Do you follow my point? Yes, because those are the things really that count for eternity. All right, the Lord is good. Let's rise to our feet quickly. I want us to just begin to close. I actually did much more talking than I planned today, which is very usual with me anyway. I was thinking to change in 2015, but it has not changed. I want to understand something. I don't want to teach again, but James has explained something to us. Your words, I said it earlier, they actually control the things that happen around you. That's one. Number two, they tell your body how to behave. Yes, they do. They do. I was reading an article the other day. I stumbled into it while reading something on Farid Zakaria's blog on CNN. And I stumbled into something as I read it. I said, these people are very foolish. You know, somebody was describing, I won't pollute your ears with the nonsense, all right? But the person was describing how this thing is okay because it was natural. I said, you don't understand. God gave us words to tell our bodies how to behave. Anyway, let me make, okay, I'll tell you, it's very bad though. Clean your ears when you leave here. The one girl was dating her father. She and her father were seeing each other, and the mother doesn't know. And the person writing the article was trying to see that the attraction was very strong. So trying to explain to us that, so why not? No, that was the aim of the article. Why not? I want to subscribe to Economist Online. All right, you know Economist. I used to read their magazine a lot. So to be getting it was a bit, so I said, let me just subscribe online for a year. Let me see how easy it will be. You know why I didn't? One day I read an article on it. It was an editorial trying to explain why you should legalize and promote and legally protect prostitution. I didn't pay. I know they pay. Eh? To be reading this nonsense? Now, these people don't understand. Now, back to that first article. I stumbled on it while I was reading Farid Zakaria's analysis of these riots about these people that were shot in France, Charlie Hebdo. Yes, that's what led to it. So I've been reading it. Number one, you confessed that the girl was 16 when the affair started. By the time you're writing the article, she was 18. Legally, in many parts of the U.S., they will put that man in prison. But the fellow writing the article kept on trying to explain why the attraction was strong, it was natural, it was spontaneous. And I said, what is wrong with these people? No, as God will have it. Next day, I read Charisma News, which is a Christian magazine, and found out that somebody on Charisma News, apparently I read the same article, and came down to Charisma News to tear the people to pieces. He was so angry, which is right, he should be angry. But why I told the story is that when I was reading, I said, are you mad? This is not how life, we don't walk according to how we feel. We walk according to what is right. They have a saying in Western in Nigeria. They say if you scratch your body the way it is itching, it will bleed. Yeah, it's a proverb. It's an African proverb. That you don't scratch to the extent of the itch. Otherwise, you will bleed. That is, we train ourselves. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. We train ourselves. We learn what is right. Then we train ourselves. We don't just say, this thing is right. So, this thing feels right. So, we do it. No. Like I keep on saying, when I was a single man, if I see a nice sister, fine young lady, I will check my spirit. Is the Lord saying anything? Whether the Lord talks or not. If I just like, I will greet them well, next fellowship. How are you doing? Let me escort you somewhere. Why? I was single. Bishop, no reason. But the moment I married, even if God says that's your wife, I will beat him. What kind of, because I know it can't be the true God. Are you getting my point? If Holy Spirit comes and says, Banky, I want you to know, right now I'm leading you to go and marry that girl. I will say, wait here. Just wait here. That, I will go and recruit MFM chairman, Father Mbaka. I'm carrying all of them against this Holy Spirit. Say, please, there is one evil spirit here that's pretending. Kill him for me. Those ones, they will be very happy. Say, Pastor Barkin has agreed with us for once. Holy Ghost fire, die, die! This is the same Holy Spirit, in quotes, that if he had spoken a few weeks before, I would have listened. But now, once I went to church, and they said, I pronounce you man and wife, whatever God has joined together, anything you say after that cannot lead me towards who I shall marry. I have married her. Why? We train ourselves. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What I'm saying so is this. Listen. In the same manner, you train yourself. Now, let me use James now. You use your tongue to direct your body concerning how it will behave. You use your tongue to tell your body. He said, me, I don't like, you know, some people say that, messages, I don't like listening. Sometimes, you know, some people say, I don't like listening to American pastors. Some will say, I don't like listening to Nigerian. I've heard all of these ones I've heard. Some say, I don't like listening to white preachers. Some say, I don't like listening, that is, that, you are right. That is how you feel. And we agree, don't we agree? Yes. We agree. It's a feeling. But then, we will not tell the feeling. You will behave yourself. It will align. Sharp, sharp. Horridly. You say, I don't like listening to messages. You don't repeat it. Even if you don't like listening to messages, you will tell yourself the messages you shall listen to. It's simple. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. You use your mouth to tell your body how to behave. That's just the way this thing is. You don't just say, okay, this is how. No. And they say, no. Me, I don't. One of my friends said, he said that, me, I prefer listening to music. I don't like reading. I said, do they sing the word? very few. More songs, two lines, they say the same thing again and again. Proper teaching and not song. Nobody sings them. They teach. Do you get my point? You can't tell me. And the guy could spend, when we had little money, if you see the guy could spend more than, what am I saying? He could spend 20% of his income buying music. Buying music. He said, you like to read? I don't like reading. I said, I don't like to read, my brother. I need to read. My little boy, one day, you know, he's skinny and growing. So every time he's always looking for extra. You finish eating in the morning. Mama, can I have extra bread? Can I have extra cornflakes? Can I have extra chocolate? So my wife said, You're always looking for extra. He said, Mommy, if you give me a bar, I won't ask for extra. The boy told the mother straight, if it is ever, I won't ask for extra. So yesterday night, I said, have you eaten? He said, no. Why? He said, really, I don't like eba. That's the point I'm making. I said to him, you go and eat it. It is good for you. Are you getting my point? As I explained, you know, not just yesterday, other times. The other time I said, I don't like beans. I said, beans is good for you. It's one of them too that I'm serious, surprised. Guy doesn't like eggs. You cook food, you use egg, that's it too. He doesn't want. So of course I sat him down. Eggs are good for you. Then you explain. Then after a while, he gets used to eating egg. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Why? Because it's really good. I trained him to eat it. Listen, you speak to your body. There's nothing like, I don't like to. If it is good for me, I know I don't like to, but I will not say it. I will tell myself, you will like to. This is what you must do. Are you getting my point? All right, because our walk with God is the primary thing. This is, let me read a few scriptures. Quickly, Acts chapter 20, verse 32. If you have your Bibles, open to it. He said, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That's Acts chapter 20. That's verse 32. Then another one I want to read, the words of Peter, then we'll read the words of Jesus Christ. He said, 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. He said, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please note the scriptures. Last of all, the words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 24. He said, for this reason, I'm going to combine this and then somewhere in Matthew 25. He said, for this reason, you be ready too. The emphasis is be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will come. Then in chapter 25, he says, be on the alert then, verse 13, for you do not know the day nor the hour. My emphasis, I said, be ready. And the other word, be on the alert. What I want us to do is to declare the word of God concerning our walk with God this year. Are you getting my point? The words you are speaking, they are designed to train you. They are doing what? They are training you. You understand? They are training me. Therefore, declare, say, the word of God will be my delight this year.
The word of God will be my delight.
More than my necessary food.
More than my necessary food.
I want to shut your eyes and be talking to yourself so you can almost read the words as you are saying them. Say, I will delight in the Lord.
I will delight in the Lord.
I will delight in the Lord at all times.
I will delight in the Lord at all times.
Say, all my desires will be supplied automatically.
All my desires will be supplied automatically.
Now, my emphasis there is that I won't have to worry about them. You understand what I'm saying? Because it says that delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Do you understand my point? Say, I will not focus on those desires.
I will not focus on those desires.
Say, to this year,
I will not focus on my desires.
I will focus on the Lord.
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 I will rejoice at the word of God like people who have just made a lot of money.
I will rejoice at the word of God like people who have just
made a lot. Now I'm reading from that Psalm 119, all right? From verse 162. He said, I rejoice at thy word like those who find great spoil or great treasure. You understand? It's very important. You understand? Sometimes, listen to this. I find this mistake people make sometimes, Christians. We become consumed by our lack. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, we become consumed by it. Okay, I want to have children, so everywhere I go, every prayer point, every confession, everything is centered around that. I need a new job. Every prayer point, every confession is centered around that. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, sometimes when we are too preoccupied with something, God can't even do them for us anymore. Please, that desire of yours, God will supply it. Amen? That need in your life. And you know, Jesus actually said that don't think too much about them. So that's how Gentiles pray. These days, Christians pray like Gentiles. The thing that's most important, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And every other thing we do, we what? Added. No, we have to learn to seek first the kingdom of God. So let's declare to ourselves again, all right? Say, I will esteem the word of God as more necessary than all other things. I will seek it first and above all things. I will seek the things that are above. I will not lay my treasures on the earth. Heaven's treasures will be real to me this year. He said, this new year, I will be filled with the knowledge of God, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I will please Him in all respects. I will bear fruit in every good work. And I will always increase in the knowledge of God. Say, as a result of this, I will be strengthened with all divine power. And I will attain all steadfastness. See, I will walk in patience. I will walk in humility. And I will walk by faith. In everything this year, I will give God thanks at all times. I will give God thanks because I have been qualified to be called a child of God. I will give Him thanks because I have my inheritance with the saints. Just like we read from that 2 Peter just now. He said that, be on your guard so you do not fall from your own steadfastness. You understand? Therefore declare, I will attain steadfastness. And I will not fall from it. I will not fall from my steadfastness. I will continually grow in grace. And in the knowledge of the Lord, of my Lord Jesus Christ. I will continually grow in grace. And in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus. Say it, I will not be earthly minded. Now remember, you are talking to yourself. You know, you are not even talking about how you feel. You are telling yourself, listen, Banky, you will not be earthly minded. Material things will not control you. Desire for, you know, things that make natural people proud will not control you. You will love the word of God. Your primary concern will be to be found pleasing to God. Do you understand? Declare it, say, I will love the word of God. I will not be earthly minded. Say, I know my life is hid with Christ in God. Say, this world will not sweep me away with its cares. The coming of the Lord will not take me like the proverbial thief in the night. That, you know, Jesus said, be on your guard, lest that day come upon you like a thief in the night. You understand my point? Say, I will live ready for Jesus at all times. There's something I said before. Listen, somebody, you've heard me say this if you have listened to me for some time, that sometimes people say that, what if they told you, all right, that you authentic, the Holy Spirit came and said, let me just tell only you. Jesus is coming next week by Friday afternoon. I said, what will I do differently? I said, in all honesty, I will still show up on Saturday and preach. I have lectures for my students tomorrow morning. I will go for the lectures. I won't say, you people are here. You are still reading to become doctors. When Jesus is coming next week. No. Jesus said, blessed is the servant who the master finds so doing. It's not the one that says, master is coming. Jesus doesn't want you to know he's coming. He wants you to live ready like he can come at any time. Is there anything I cannot do? If Jesus is supposed to come next week, I shouldn't do it at all. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yes, I must say that again. Anything you can't do, if you were sure that the Lord will come next week, don't bother at all. Don't bother. Don't stress yourself needlessly. Do things that if the Lord met you doing, you will be able to see, this is why I'm doing this. And listen, you must understand the way God is doing things. It's not just what we have done. How do I say this now? It's the manner by which we are walking. You know, when the Lord gave out those talents, those minas, the guy who didn't do anything, you know what's his complaint? I don't want to lose your money. Now, what he didn't realize, what it was the process of using the money that the master was interested in, not the profit you made. Do you get my point? So why the master was angry, he said, okay, the money is there intact. You've done nothing with it. Listen, how you live your life is more important to God than what you achieved. That is why if you achieved a lot of things and he doesn't like the how, you have gained nothing. So when we're talking, like I told you on Saturdays, along the line, we'll get back to that matter of the will of God again, all right? That's why we're declaring these things. So that's what I mean when I said, listen, that the world will not sweep me away with its cares, and the coming of the Lord will not take me like a thief in the night. I will live ready for the Lord Jesus at all times. So let us declare, say, I will live ready
for the Lord Jesus at all times.
Say, I say to my soul,
soul,
delight in the Lord,
and
do not be carried away by the cares of this world.
Soul,
delight in the Lord,
and
do not be carried away by the deceitfulness of riches. Declare to yourself, say, I will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly.
I will not stand in the way of sinners.
I will not sit in the seat of scoffers.
I will not keep companies with mockers of God.
My delight will be in the law of the Lord.
And in that law I will meditate day and night.
And I know
that I will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water,
ready to bear my fruit in due season.
Said
this year,
I will spend my time
and my energy
learning the word of God.
I am a true disciple.
I am a disciple indeed.
Declare like you mean it, holiness,
righteousness.
These are my portion
in
2015.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Now let's say, they say, I renounce every strain of worldliness.
I renounce every strain of materialism.
I renounce judging myself according to the flesh.
And I renounce judging other people according to the flesh.
Say, I walk in the reality of the new creation.
And therefore I say,
if anyone is in Christ,
he's a new creation.
I am a new creation.
All things have passed away.
Everything has become new.
My life
is hid
with Christ
in God.
My life
is hid
with Christ
in God.
Say, I am being purified,
and I'm becoming the exact image of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Say, my faith is growing stronger.
I am not moved by what I see.
I am only moved by the word of God.
Say, this year,
I will be a witness for the Lord.
I will speak his gospel with boldness.
And the Lord will confirm my words
with signs and wonders following.
Say, by my hands,
the sick will be healed this year.
By the laying on of these hands,
the blind will see.
The lame will walk.
The dead will be raised.
I will speak in strange tongues
as I minister the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Say, more than ever before,
I will reflect my Jesus Christ,
who loved me and died for me.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Let us begin to give the Lord thanks for today. Say, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the power of your word.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
All right, Father, we give you thanks.
It's been a beautiful day.
We declare this year is a year of understanding.
Amen.
It's a year of knowledge.
Amen.
And it's a year of wisdom.
Amen.
We enter into it.
Amen.
Look, my desire, listen, for everyone listening, is that this year, you will feel like a spirit when you are moving about.
I'm serious about that.
Material things won't disturb you.
In fact, a whole year will pass, you won't remember to pray for money.
Not even because you have, you will have, amen?
But not even because of that. Just realize that, listen, I can do all things. I said on Saturday, faith is not about let me grab.
Faith is, first of all, to understand that those things don't control my life.
That's it.
This year, you will feel like a spirit.
Amen.
I'm serious. You will walk like a spirit.
Amen.
I'm telling you, there was a time, man, you know, I sent some messages out to some of my brethren. I said, when you finish listening to these messages, the color of the air will change. And because that also happened to me. Those is, I remember we have the messages here, Supernatural Living Series by Bishop Oyedepo. 7 tips. Is it 7 or 8?
7.
Now when you finish listening to them, when you come out, you know, remember that dust that was around it over the last few weeks? You don't see it. You are seeing with a different eye. You start feeling like a spirit.
You know what causes it? It's when you are full of the Word of God. When the Word of God is dwelling richly in you. Spirit filling your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Remember something we said? Listen, the Word of God won't come to you. You go and look for it. Are you getting my point? When Jesus was telling stories, parables, the sower went forth to sow. No, disciples were looking. What is he saying? At the end of the day, the other guys went up to where Jesus was sitting. Say, excuse me, who is the sower? What was he sowing? They went to go and learn. It was an active thing on their part. Do you get my point? Listen, do that. Sometimes I talk to people who have been listening to me for a whole year, 2 years. And they have you read Acquired Life? They say they haven't. You have been listening to me for a whole year. With all the talk I've talked, you've not bothered to gather the book. Great Faith Can Be Yours and read it. In my mind, they say, I'm talking, you know what I'm doing? I'm beating you. On the surface. But in my mind, I'm beating you. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Knowledge will come to us as we pursue it, all right? In the name of Jesus Christ.